when we read about the way that he describes who we are together collectively as Christians, we see descriptions in the New Testament of his church as the body of Christ, as the kingdom of God, the temple of God, the family of God, the bride of Christ, in each of those different ways in which he describes who we are together collectively as his church. We see also then the different aspects of what we're doing or the way that we are to be serving God. He makes a teaching point out of all those different ways in which he describes us. That's true on the collective level as well as the individual level when he describes who we are as individual Christians in the New Testament. We will see reference to our standing with God as being his children or his disciples, members or servants or branches, and a number of other things. One that we want to focus our attention on this morning is when he describes who we are as his children or as Christians, that we are stewards. In Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, we find here one of the passages that give the qualifications of elders in God's church. And beginning in verse 5 of Titus chapter 1, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Now, one of the interesting things that we see in those qualifications, one that he mentions there first in verse 6, if any be blameless, but then the very next verse says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God." So there's the general description or qualification of being blameless. And then he's honing in on a particular aspect of that, blameless as the steward of God. And of course, this is a qualification for one to be an elder. They would have to be blameless as a steward of God. And there are many ways in which to examine stewardship. But one of the points that we're looking at here, a reason why we're looking at this passage, this is obviously something God desires for all of every Christian, that we would be blameless, but that we would be blameless as his stewards. That is a requirement for one who is an elder in the church, but obviously that's something that God would desire for all of us to have within us and for us to be. Blameless as stewards of God. What is a steward? That word in Greek that's in the New Testament, and it's one word that we see in a number of passages where we find this word used, and it's pretty much exact that where we find this Greek word in the New Testament, it will be translated steward in English, but oikonomos is the Greek word. It's a compound word. Oikos in Greek is the word for house. Nomos is the Greek word for law. I mean, it's house law. So somebody who is belongs to a particular house that is responsible for carrying out the law of the house. I mean, that's basically the descriptive term for what a steward is. So it's literally one who is a distributor, but it's distributing under the authority of the law of the house, whatever aspect that is. And, of course, a steward can be over many different things. But whatever it is that they've been given authority over by the one who's over the house, they are to carry out that authority and to serve as a steward. Is a steward one who makes the laws themselves? No. There's one who is the head of the house that serves as the law of the house or gives the law of the house. The steward is one who is going to function under that law of the house and carry forth whatever degree of responsibility the one who is over the house gives to that person. I mean, that's what a steward is by definition. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we see another passage here where he describes our standing under God as being a steward and what the requirement is for us as stewards. Having read a moment ago from Titus chapter 1, we could certainly see that a Christian is a steward of God, and we need to be blameless as such. But here he teaches a little bit more about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And of all the qualifications that one must have as a steward, what is going to be more necessary than in the role of a steward to be faithful? And that's what God's requirement is. So that's why when he's describing us in these different ways, there's a particular teaching point that will go, or points that will go along with each of those. So when he describes us as being stewards of God, there are going to be some teaching points that will be very much related to that descriptive term. Well, faithfulness is one of those things that he's teaching us by describing us as being stewards of God. Well, of course, God is the one that is over his house, over his family. And we are his family when we are in Christ. He's our Father. We're his children. We belong to his house. Well, he is the one that is over the house. And he's the one that has given the law for his house. We have the New Testament. That's the law that we're under. Now, under the function of the one who's the head of the house, who's given the law of the house, everything that we do is going to be underneath that authority that that belongs to the one who that we are following and that we are children of, and that's God. And so we have then been given stewardship. We've been given authority over many different things, and then we have to serve under the law of the one who's over the house and carrying forth whatever it is that he has entrusted us as stewards over, and we have to be faithful in that. So if we take the authority that he's given to us over whatever it is, and then we misuse that, if we use that for some other purpose than for the house law, if we're using it for some other law or for some other purpose than that which the one, our master, has given to us, then we're not being faithful as a steward. So that's one aspect that we're going to see with all these different ways in which we can be a steward, is that we have to be faithful in that. Whatever it is, we have to be faithful to use that authority the Lord has given to us, whatever he has put in, entrusted into our hands, that we be faithful in using all of that to serve the one who's over the house according to his law, according to his will. Let's look at some of the specific aspects of this, or ways in which we are to be faithful as stewards of God. There are ways in which a number of different ways in which this will be shown. Luke chapter 19, if we can turn there, and this is where we can look at being stewards over abilities that God has given to us, and we can look at a number of passages of Scripture to recognize the fact that we are not all identical in the way that God has made us. He's made us all with different abilities. If we had the opportunity or the time right now, we could go over to 1 Corinthians 12, where he gives a lengthy description of the church as being the body of Christ, and each member of our physical bodies has a different function, and he compares that us to that in terms of the spiritual body, and we all have different roles to play. We have different abilities that God has given to us, and God is the one that has put us in the body as it has pleased him. And then together, when we're all using whatever it is the Lord has blessed us with faithfully and diligently, then God's going to be able to use all that to make that into a very glorious church. Well, these abilities that God has given to each one of us, those are things that he's given to us that we're stewards over. And this is very clear in this passage in Luke chapter 19. This is parallel to what's in Matthew 15, verses 25, verses 14 through 30, the parable of the talents. This is a close parallel to that we find here in Luke 19, starting in verse 11. It says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, that have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou hast taken up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Well, in this particular parable, we see this one who is the master, the one who is the head over the house, has his servants that he entrusts with his goods. And then they give account to the master for their stewardship. Two of them were faithful as stewards. It is required that a steward be found faithful. Well, two of these were. They took what the Lord gave them. They used it for their Lord and for the service of the Lord, according to his authority, according to his law. And they were rewarded for that. There was one who was not faithful and did not use the Lord's goods to serve the Lord. And so their Lord then required that of that one unfaithful steward who was wicked and unfaithful. And then it was taken away from him what he had. The Lord warns us when it comes to the things that God has given to us, if we don't use what God has given us for him and serving him, does that mean we're always going to possess whatever it is the Lord entrusted us with it? Or is it the one who gave it? Can he take it away? And there are different ways in which he can do that. But he's warning us there, if we're not faithful as a steward, he can take away what he gave to us if we're not using it to serve him. We should be very thankful for whatever it is the Lord did give us and use that to serve him and to do so faithfully as a steward. It's obvious that not all of these servants, they were not all given the same. So they were not equivalent in terms of what the Lord entrusted them with. We are made in different ways. God has given to us each different things, different abilities, different opportunities, whatever that is. Whatever it is the Lord has given to us, though, we're stewards of that. And we need to be faithful and diligent with those things, to be faithful to the Lord so that we can be found as a steward, blameless before him and faithful, and that we've used all that he's put into our hands in accordance with his will. That's how we're going to be judged in the end. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now, this is in that same passage that we read the first two verses of a while ago, where he's speaking about stewardship. And one of the important points that we need to recognize as stewards, is there anything that we have that is our own, that belongs only to us? Did we give anything to ourselves? Every single thing that we have, our very lives, whatever abilities we have, whatever strength we have, whatever opportunities we have, whatever goods we have, the time that we have, whatever it is, every bit of what we have came from God. He has given that to us. That's all we are as stewards. We've been entrusted with certain things and whatever it is we have, and all those things we need to use for the Lord. Again, that's how he defines that, though. There are a lot of people that there are certain things that we may have an ability for that may not translate into service for God. And sometimes we'll read about these ones who do. They'll say they're doing whatever it is for Christ. It has nothing to do with anything that the scriptures teach us. I'm not a fast runner or something like that, but if I were, I mean, running around here as fast as I could isn't going to be a way to serve Christ, is it? There are lots of people that do foolish things as a means for using whatever they can do for themselves, for their own glory, that's not going to be for the Lord's service, according to His commandments. We have to be according to the law of the one who's the head of the house. That's the very word. So we have to be faithful to the Lord. Whatever He's given us, we have to use it for Him in His way. We don't get to define how we're going to use that and then claim it's for Him and be right with Him. We have to be faithful to use what the Lord has given to us to serve Him. We don't have anything on our own, and we have nothing to boast about whatever it is that we do have, because He gave it to us. We need to make sure whatever it is that we serve Him with that. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4. We'll get to see a little bit more of this in verses 7 through 11 there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So there he speaks about how we're supposed to use whatever it is that God has given us. Whatever gift that we have received from Him, verse 10, we need to then minister the same in serving and loving one another. So that's according to God's purpose. We need to use that for Him as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. His grace, His favor, He's given us or shown us His favor to entrust us with whatever goods or abilities and opportunities we have. And then we need to use that for Him diligently and faithfully. And then he mentions about speaking His word, teaching His word, or in serving Him in whatever way it is. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. So all of our abilities need to be used according as God has given those for His glory, and do so. And the only way we're going to do that is to be faithful and diligent in using what He's given us. We see the same point being made in Romans chapter 12. If we can turn over there to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, so we see that verse 3 is connected with what he just taught there in the first two verses. This is based upon not being conformed to this world, but rather being transformed. So when we are serving Christ to be like Him, then comes verse 3, for I say, though through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Doesn't that go along with what we just read in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7? There's nothing that we have that we didn't receive. Why would we boast about something as if we didn't receive it? We didn't give it to ourselves. God gave it to us. So we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So however much God has given to us, whatever it is, we should not be feeling proud of ourselves or boast of ourselves. We need to use whatever it is God has given us for Him. Verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So again, we're not all made the same, but whatever gifts, abilities God has given to us, that's by His grace, His favor. He's shown us His favor, doing us a favor to give it, to entrust us with whatever it is He has. So we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We should view ourselves as what we are. We are stewards of whatever He's given to us. And then he says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So in all these things that we may have the ability or opportunity to do, we need to do it for the Lord in the way that He's taught us to do it. This is also true of our time. And we may not think of ourselves as being stewards over time, but we are. God, whatever time we have here on this earth, that's something God has given to us. We're not going to be given much. Even Methuselah wasn't given much when we compare it to eternity. But we're not given a lot of time here. We need to use what time the Lord gives us to serve Him. And not to waste that. If we're wasting our time, we're not being a good steward or a faithful steward over that. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's turn over there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to read here starting in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What do we need to do with the time God has given to us? We need to redeem that time. We need to use that for the Lord and not be unwise. We need to understand His will and make sure that every moment of time that He gives us on this earth, that we're using it to do His will and not be engaged in or have any fellowship with any unfruitful works of darkness. We need to be walking in the light as children of light, doing His will at all times and all things. That's how we can be good and faithful stewards over the time that God has given to us. When we turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, he's very clear with that in verses 1 and 2. Now, we were also in this chapter a little bit ago when we were when he uses the word steward a little bit further down, and we've already looked at that. But he starts the chapter in verses 1 and 2 saying, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Well, what was the mind of Christ? He tells us to arm ourselves with it. John 8, 28 and verse 29, he said that when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing about myself. Verse 29, he said, I do always those things which please the Father. That was the mind of Christ, to do nothing of Himself. What time did Jesus use that God gave Him on this earth for Himself, to do His own will, anything other than to do the will of His Father? He did nothing of Himself, and that was best demonstrated when He was lifted up on the cross. He wouldn't do anything of Himself. If He wouldn't do it then, when would He have? Which He didn't. He always did what pleased the Father. He tells us to arm ourselves with the same mind, and that we must spend the rest of our time in the flesh to do the will of God, not the lust, the desires of men. Well, if we spend the rest of our time in the flesh doing the will of God, how much time does that give us on anything else? That would be nothing. So to be a good steward over the time that God gives us, every moment of that time needs to be spent doing His will in some way. And He will make sure that we have the opportunity to be doing that, whether it's in our families or as part of the church, on our jobs, wherever we are, at whatever moment it is, we're going to be having the opportunity to do things the Lord's way in all of those situations, and we need to spend the rest of our time in the flesh doing that. Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us or applies that in this way. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, if we use our time properly, we're not going to be using any of that time for sin, of course, but also not for any of these things that He describes there as weights, things that would weight us down, that would prevent us from being able to do the will of God. We need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, follow Him, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And then we will be using the rest of our time or living the rest of our time in the flesh to do the will of God and not the desires of men. He teaches us about an unfaithful steward in Luke chapter 16 in that parable there. In Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 1, He said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fall, they may receive you into the everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now that's right there, verse 13. I know when I bring that verse up, I don't usually bring it up right in connection with that parable that comes before it of the unrighteous steward. But there is a connection there. That was somebody who was not serving only his master that he was the steward for. So he was unfaithful and unrighteous in his stewardship. He was commended not because he was unrighteous, but in his unrighteousness he found a way in which to take care of himself when he was put out of being a steward. That's not the model he's teaching us to follow. What he's teaching us to follow is to be faithful in all things. If we're faithful in those small things, then we're going to be faithful in the big things. And if the Lord can't trust us, if we show him in our lives on this earth that he cannot trust us to use what he gives us to serve him with it, is he going to tell us on the day of judgment, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and then give us that position to reign under his son for eternity? I mean, that would be foolish to think that God would do that. And of course, he's not, as he's teaching us in all these passages. We have to be found faithful as a steward to be worthy of that position. So we need to be faithful as a steward over our abilities, over time, all of our goods, and to use that for the Lord. Now, we may be poor, and in which case, whatever the Lord has given us in terms of our material goods, we need to use that for the Lord. When we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we read about some poor brethren in Macedonia. When they knew about a need that was there for helping some brethren that were in difficult circumstances, they didn't even know them. They were the brethren in Judea. Tells us in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but the first gave them their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So here were some brethren that were materially poor, but yet they were using all that God did give them for this particular need. And then they were doing that because they gave themselves to the Lord. Reminds us of that widow with the two mites, doesn't it? She put in all that she had. So what the Lord didn't give her much, but what she had she used to serve the Lord with. So did these brethren. There are other brethren we read about that had been given much. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, the Lord gave instruction to them. Christians that have been blessed materially with abundance, they're to use that for the Lord. Verses 17 through 19, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So whether we've been blessed with material abundance or not so, whatever it is God has given to us, we need to use it for Him and to serve Him and to do so cheerfully and willingly. We'll close in Ezekiel chapter 16. Here were the people of Jerusalem that God was holding to account because they had misused the things that God had given to them. And when we see the way the Lord phrases this in Ezekiel 16, verses 17 through 21, it's very clear that God recognizes and teaches that all things ultimately do belong to Him. And these children of God were unfaithful as stewards over what God had given to them. Ezekiel 16, 17 to 21, he says, "Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit wickedness with them, and tookest thy embroidered garments, and coveredst them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them, my meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey wherewith I fed thee. Thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor, and thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them?" If we had more time, we could just keep exploring through that. He says, my children. We're stewards over that. So, the Lord gives us children. We might think of them as, well, they're our children. Well, they're really not. They're God's. And here, everything, the material goods they had, their children they had, their clothes, everything, their food, all of it. He says, I gave it to you. It's mine. You used what I gave to you for these wicked purposes, not to serve me with. So they were unjust. They were unfaithful as stewards over what God gave them. They were condemned for that. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So whatever it is that God has given us, from our material goods, our abilities, our time, the opportunities He gives us to do service to Him, all of those things, everything God has given to us, we need to use it for Him with all diligence and be faithful in everything as a steward. Because one day we are going to be giving account to Him of our stewardship here on this earth. And we want Him to find us to be faithful and to tell us that we have done well as stewards and been faithful, and that we have been blameless as His stewards on this earth, so that we're prepared for our service to Him for eternity, that we will continue to be His diligent service for the ages to come. If you've not yet begun to serve Him, this is an opportunity for you to begin this morning. And then He will put you in a position as a steward of His, and then you can then live your life to be faithful and diligent as His servant and as a steward under his mastership with His goods. If you need to repent this morning and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins, so that you can have your sins washed away, have your name written in heaven, be added to Christ and to His church, all of those things that He's promised with the hope of eternal salvation, this is an opportunity for you to do that. We're encouraging you to do that now if that is your need. If you are a Christian, if you've gone astray from Him, if you need to return to Him, so that you can then serve faithfully as His steward again, then this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come now while we stand together and sing.